session number 27730, Reel 11.
Mr. Bob Lund, Reel 11. We were talking about your time off the beaches, going backwards and forwards in the ducks for about 30, 40 days you were doing this.
Yes.
So what happened next then?
Well, may I just continue that about the sequence of the story? I met him, he lived in Monmouth. And I'd come down into Monmouth on a job after the war. And I walked, his wife worked at Woolworths, and I walked into Woolworths and found her. She said, "Well, David is the manager of the international stores. Go down and see him." I said, "How's his hand?" "Oh," she said, "he's a hero, you know, in this town." I said, "I beg your pardon." He said, "Oh, he's a hero." She said, "He was prayed as a hero, a D-Day hero." I said, "Oh, was he? Well, I'm never. Nobody ever made me a hero." So he said, she said, "Go down and see him." So I went down and saw him at the international shop, and he happened to see me. He was serving in the shop. He was manager of the international shop in Monmouth. And he flew out to me. He said, "Hello, Robert." He said, "How are you?" And all that. I said, "How's that hand of yours?" He said, "Oh, no," he said, "don't mention that." I said, "I understand that you're a bit of a hero in the town." He said, "Yes," he said. I said, "You'll have to tell me the story, or else I might go and let it out." He said, "Well," he said, "it's a long story." I said, "I don't care how long it is. You tell me the story of what's happened." So apparently what happened was he told his wife and all his family and all the people in Monmouth that he was directing traffic up on the beach road of Sword Beach, and a German sniper, he was directing traffic, and they shot him straight through the hand. And I said, "You lying so-and-so. I was there when, just as I came into the park, as you were going off in the ambulance." He said, "Yes, that's right." I said, "There was no sniper around there." He said, "Well, no, there wasn't." But he said, "I had to make the story look good." And he said, "They practically gave me the freeman of the town." But anyway, that was the episode of how somebody told whoppers. But
that is the next thing when you go to, when they close Sword Beach down.
Yes.
Would that be the next
yes.
thing?
Yes.
What happened back there? How long was that, do you think? How long had you been there?
Oh, I don't know. Been there about 3 or 4 months. And, less than that. And they were moving the 51st Highland Div up. And they had to come up to Queestrium. And they were going to stop off at Hermanville Park, but they decided to move us out of the park up to some fields at the back of Juno Beach, which was Canadian Beach, at Luxemur. And we went into some fields at the back of Luxemur. Juno Beach was on Leonsemur, and then the next small town was Luxemur. So they put us up in some fields at the back of Luxemur. Another story there was that the 51st Highland Div moved into Hermanville Park, where we were, and that night they got shelled. Now, it seems strange that we'd been there quite a few weeks and we'd been left alone, and yet the 51st Highland Div moves in. They didn't have anything special like we did. They had guns and good soldiers and what have you. They were special in a way. But why should they want to go after them when if they'd gone the night before, they would have got the ducks? And it was the ducks that was maintaining the support to all the front and the soldiers that were fighting the Germans. Anyway, we go up to Luc Semur, and it was a little bit of an easy time up there, really. I'd got promoted. I was going to be promoted again. One of the officers, Lieutenant Marriage, came up to me and he said, "I'm promoting you." I said, "Well, it's very nice of you, sir." He said, "We're going to give you your stripe back." So the Sergeant Major came over. He said, "I understand Marriage has put you up for a Lance Corporal stripe." I said, "Yes." He said, "It'll be tomorrow morning." I said, "Oh, God." I said, "Who's on?" He said, "Armstrong." I said, "Oh, no." He said, "You'll be all right." He said, "All the officers are all keen for you to be have your stripe back, and you should have had your second by now." He said, "He won't remember." Marched in. Recommendation from Lieutenant Marriage. Oh, yes. Supported by Captain Cook, the adjutant. Yes. Supported by various other officers. Yes. And then the Major Armstrong looks up from his desk and he said, "We've met before, haven't we?" He said, "I told you back at Emsworth when I took your stripes off you, you'd never have another one whilst I was in charge." The Marriage, God rest his Scott and socks, he said, "Well, this man's done a lot of good things since you took his stripes, and I think he's entitled to have them back." And Armstrong said to him, "Who's in charge of this company?" Marriage said, "You are, sir." He said, "Well, what I say goes. You can march him out, Sergeant Major, he's still a driver." I thought, well, that's a bully for him. Anything I'm going to do, and I do wrong, I couldn't care less. I'm not going to lose anything. Now, anyway, that was that. But we had quite an easy time at Luc Semur. We used to go down to the beach and do our jobs. From the ships.
Weren't they using the big... the floating harbour by this time?
No. About 3 weeks after that, there was 5 Mulberry harbours built. 4 went over, and they kept one in reserve. 1 went to Utah, that worked. 1 went to Omaha, that sunk. 1 went to Juneau, and sort of between Juneau and Sword, that sunk. The only one that was left was the one that they managed to maintain at Arromanches, that was the Gold Beach. And they got that working, up and running, and they moved us. They closed down Sword Beach and Juneau Beach. On Sword Beach, what they did, they put some old trawlers in and old ships that they towed over and sunk them. They scuttled them on the beach to make a breakwater, but it wasn't successful. The seas were that rough, you couldn't get tied alongside it. Anyway, they decided that they would close Sword Beach and Juneau Beach. So the Juneau Beach Duck Company moved to Gold Beach and to help the Mulberry Harbour, and we moved up to Omaha.
That's the American sector.
That was American sector. And a happy time was had by all.
In what way? Tell us what was happening there.
Well, you honestly wouldn't have thought there was a war on up there. One particular instance which might be interesting to you is that our duck broke down, and we managed to get back to the workshops, and they said, well, you'll have to get, you're on duty, you'll have to have another duck. We've just repaired one duck and it's ready to go out. It belongs to Driver English. Now, he was a Scots fella, huge, he was like a man mountain, and he was off duty, and but his duck was had been finished, just engine repairs, and so they gave us this duck, and he thought it was his pride and joy, this duck, and he saw us going out with it, and he said, oi, where are you going with that duck? I said, well, our duck's just broken down, we've got to go back on duty. Oh yes, well, he said, now you look after it. Don't, if you do anything wrong to it, he said, you know what'll happen to you. I said, well, we wouldn't do anything wrong to it, John. So he said, well, don't you do anything wrong. Anyway, we go off down the Omaha beach. Oh, we went to the transshipment area first. They said, oh, we want some this, that, you're going to ship so and so, ship number 4 or 5. I said, well, I'll tell you this, you want to tell your people that are stevedores on those ships, we only have 2 skip loads on our ducks, we don't take 3 or 4, we're not like your crowd that loads them up and then sinks the duck, we rather bring 2 skip loads of stores in and do a double journey than to bring 4 and sink. So they said, we'll let them know that. So anyway, we're going out, the sea's rough. Our sergeant on the beach said, do you think you'll get out to the ships all right? He said, yeah, again, we've been in worse water than these. So they said, righto. Anyway, old wind's driving. I'm sitting in the spare seat. We used to sing the Volga Boatman such a lot. And we're going, there was a special route from the beach to the ships, was from beach to ships in a straight line, ships to the beach, straight line. Nothing could go across from, we went from north to south, or south to north. But you never went from east to west, or west to east. Anyway, we're going down in one of these troughs and up the other side, just as a corvette, American corvette, comes along. Boom! Straight through the side. There's our duck, sailing along so happily. And there's this, turn it around better this way. There's this corvette comes along, crash, straight into it, and bent this duck nearly in half, nearly cut us in half. I was up in this well, and I'd got my hand on the corvette trying to push him away from us. Owen was standing up on his driver's seat, and he said, is it leaking, Bob, is it leaking? I said, no, I can't see any water coming in. I said, only the little pumps are working. I said, when the centrifugal pump starts working, that's the time we're going to worry. An officer looks over the side, says, what are you doing there? I looked up at him, I said, what are you doing there? You had no right from coming from the route you took. You should have gone out to sea and come in line with the coast. He said, I was taking a shortcut. I said, well, we don't take shortcuts. An idiot like you, don't you call me an idiot, he said. I said, an idiot like you goes and smashes up one of our ducks. No wonder you had to send for us, if this is the way you've been playing. Anyway, we took his number and turned round, came back in. Straight back to the workshops. The workshop chief sergeant says, good God, we've only just repaired this one. What happened? So we told him what happened. He said, have you seen English? John English? I said, no. He said, well, when he sees this, he'll kill you. He said, do you want to keep out of his way for the next fortnight or more? Anyway, they gave us another duck. I said, see what you can do with this one then. So off we went again, and English happened to be walking along it wasn't a beach road like we had at Sword on Omaha High, it was just sanded beach. And he said, what have you done with my duck? I said, it's in the workshops. What's gone wrong? He said, well, you won't believe this, but we can't tell you what happened, but they know at the workshops what happened. And if you go back to the workshops, they'll tell you. He said, if you've damaged my duck, I'll kill you. So I said to Owen, I'm not going home tonight. I'm not going back to that camp tonight. He said, well, you got to. Where you go? I said, well, I'm going to sleep with the Americans. He said, he'll be all right. Anyway, we went. We did journeys in and out all the time we were on duty, and nothing else happened. But I know that the officer of that corvette got a right rollicking from his superiors, and they had to pay for the damage that was done to us.
And so, you're just going backwards and forwards.
Backwards and forwards, out and in, out and in, or in and out. And
how long was that for in total then?
Oh, that was...
Till August? That's when they start moving, isn't it?
Yeah, so when the Americans broke out, would be about August time, August, September. And what happened on our beaches was that we held a pivot with calm, and the Americans moved round from Utah Beach. They took Cherbourg, they cut off the German line at Cherbourg, and they swept round to meet us at the Fallows Gap.
That's in August, that is in August, yeah.
That is in August.
Now, what happened to you when the Americans started to move forward? I mean...
Well, though, what happened to us was that the Americans got that many stores in, it was unbelievable. They had lorries there by the hundreds. But they had lost that many men on their beach. They lost over 2,000 men in their initial landings. And there was more dead than alive soldiers. But they couldn't get their tanks in. The Germans had a massive armoury up on those cliffs, and they were aiming at the ships that were coming in, and they were having a lot of problems.
Well, that's before you got there.
Before we got, this was on D-Day, and they dropped their tanks 3 miles out. Now, I said to you previously, I'd been told by some people in Fort George, you drop them a mile out, but not more than 2 miles, because the skirts wouldn't take it. And the Americans thought we got skirts around our tanks, they'll float anywhere. But they couldn't stand it. The weight just simply went through the skirts and the tank sunk. I don't know how many tanks. I think about 1,500 tanks, 2,000 tanks went down.
But this was before you got there, so.
Yes, that was there.
What happened next to you then? As the Americans went forward, what happened to you?
The officer in charge of D-Day, Omaha Beach, D-Day, came to our officer and said, I want your drivers. He said, what do you want the drivers for? He said, it's come from command that you, the English drivers, have taken off the ducks. They've been getting our stores in pretty rapid, day and night. We work day and night. The Americans only work during the day. We work day and night. And he said, they've got double the amount of stores in than our fellas. So we're keeping our fellas on ducks, and you can have an easier job. We're going to let you take the GMC lorries up to the front line, which we thought was very decent of him. Anyway, in the British Army, when you take over anything, you have to lay it all out. And when we were marched down to the beaches and down to the lorries were all lined up ready for us. The Americans had done that, and all filled up with petrol and what have you. And there was our fellas putting their radiator muffs out, like we used to do in the British Army, and putting all our tools out. Spare wheel, petrol cans, spanners. An American officer comes along and he says to Major Armstrong, he said, what the hell do you think you're doing? Oh, he said, they got all these drivers have got to sign for these vehicles and all these tools. He said, look, for every lorry you lose, I'll give you three. And every tool you lose, I'll give you a dozen. Wrap them up, get them in the toolboxes, and get them lorries over to the transshipment area. We want some shovels and stuff up the front line. Don't talk X, Y, Z, stupid. Because you're a stupid little man to think we want your men to drive the lorries, not to count tools. So that's what happened. I mean, this was an officer, a major. And, I mean, I wished I had the majors that I met in September. They said the same. He was an idiot. How he got his crown, we'll never know. But he did.
And what was it like going backwards and forwards? So you're now going backwards and forwards to Omaha, to the front line, I presume?
No, yes. Well, yes, Omaha. We used to go down to the transshipment area, load up with 38 mil shells, and the shells that the Americans used to use on their guns, and they used to go straight up the front line. Again, we had to have two drivers because the lorries was exactly the same as a duck. Those lorries were made at the GMC plant in America, and all they had was a shell put round them, or a hull, and the only extra things that was put on was a rudder, which came off the transshipment area, and the propeller that came off the propeller and the rudder. They were the only two extra things on that vehicle, and you see, the beauty of it was that you could lower your tyres and...
We're on the GMC lorries now. You're talking about the ducks.
You could do the same thing on the lorry. On the lorry, you had a inflator and a deflator machine that blew up your tyres or lowered your tyres. If you were going on to soft sand, you lowered your tyres so that the tyre spread. So you went over soft ground easy.
And did anything happen while you were running for the Americans?
No, only that we were always scared because they always wanted to get you right up to the front line, right up to the tanks. And we didn't think it was our job, but as we were soldiers, we had to do as we were told. And we used to get them up to their stores, drop them and get out of there as quick as we could. Because Jerry was fighting for his life. It was getting up to...
Did you come under fire much?
Oh, quite a bit. Well, I mean, not rifle fire, more shell fire. If it was a shell fire, we could... Well, you got used to it. You got... When a shell was coming over, if it whistled and you heard the whistle, you just got down and it'd go over the top of you. But when it used to whoosh, you knew it was close. And we had quite a few that were close, very close. We had a number. We had one or two fellas that were blown up, and we didn't see them again, and which was very sad. A lot of them was taken out wounded, but I think the Americans didn't want to lose us. When we were really part of the 21st Army Group, and they, the Americans had moved round to the Valley's Gap, and that was murder there.
And then was this when you were recalled to the British?
And then we were recalled. Monty sent a message down to the American lines and said he wanted his duck drivers back, and he wanted them because he wanted stores up to the front line. And we came back
after Falaise.
After Falaise.